All right, it's T minus 2 minutes. Got a lot of feedback. I'm playing a little dual oscillator exclusive ore, and we're gonna open the show with that. So tick tock goes the clock. Tickety tockety tickety tock. While we wait to begin the show. T minus 2 minutes from Phobos. So yeah, today's show, we're gonna talk about it all over again, so why do I tell you now? Just relax, let's play around with these frequencies for a bit. Alright, T minus 1. Show's about to begin. Are you ready? I'm ready. No, I'm not, but that's okay. I never am. Never was, never will be, probably. Switch any moment now. Got my eye on the chat room. Okay, we are switched. We are live. This is Les Hall. And we are on the Les Hall show. Brought back just for fun. And in the background, you can hear some frequencies being modified in frequency, and they're being run through a neural net, and that neural net is a solution to an exclusive ore. So you're listening to sine waves going through an exclusive ore, if I did it right. I'm not 100% sure I did this right. I wrote it just in the few hours before the show. In Chuck. It's even got a little graphical user interface with two buttons and a frequency sliders. One button is for mic and the other button is for exclusive ore. And you can hear it. So now, for users in the chat room, I think we have users, listeners, I think we have just a few listeners in the chat room. Someone called it up, there's 7 listeners, what a popular show. So, I want to direct you to the illustrations that we have for the show. I'm going to go ahead and get a link to post it. Oh, and by the way, we do not have all the time in the world, because I scheduled the show during dinner time, but I'll probably just let dinner sit there. I just posted a link into the chat room where everybody can go and download the rev3.zip file, which contains a few illustrations, so you can see what we're talking about. For anybody listening to a recording, this is the Les Hall Show thread in the, where is it? In the streaming radio station subforum of the electromusic.com section of the electromusic.com forum. So we buried it nice and deep there. You'll find it if you look. And it's got a few illustrations that we're going to look at. But I'll try to be descriptive enough about them. The first thing, well, let's see. Alan says the mic sounds real good. Oh yeah, we're on a new mic. No longer the notebook mic. This is a Shure MV5. Really nice little mic that plugs right into the USB. And Dave has asked something. Les, is the mic through an Eventide harmonizer, or do you naturally have a deep voice? I naturally have a deep voice. This is the real voice. I'm not even talking up to it. You know, it's about 8, 12 inches away. A little bit off to the side, about 15 degrees. So, yeah. Well, I was told it comes from smoking for 25 years. It lowers your voice. And having a naturally low voice anyway, so whatever. Whatever. So, yeah, Phobos, you are free. He wonders how it will sound pitched up. You are free to take samples and manipulate, make songs, do all kind of silly willy stuff. Go for it, man. Now, for users in the chat room, have you got the illustration package? Because I'm kind of gating things on that. Tick tock, tick tock. Actually, I'm going to start with the neuronanatomy.jpg illustration. And let us take a look at that. For anyone who doesn't have the illustration, it's got a cell on the left with a nucleus, and it looks all freaky. It's got little wiggly things going everywhere. Oh, we want another link. iSteve is here. Here's the link. There is the link to the, you're very welcome, Steve. Now, oh, it's labeled the nucleus, the dendrites, and the soma, cell body. Then we have this thing called an axon with myelin sheaths. So it's kind of like a cable. So we have this cell with all these little dendrites sticking out of it like a tree. And then a long axon with myelin sheaths. So it's insulated. And then we have axon terminals that are like another tree. So what's happening with this cell is the message is being gathered at the nucleus and through the dendrites, and then it passes up the axon and is delivered through the axon terminals. So that is the neuron anatomy. You'll pardon my voice. There's tremendous pollen in Texas. Been fighting it all day. I should have got a Benadryl. But anyway, that's that. You know what? I'm going to turn off this exclusive ore thing. I totally forgot that was on. We'll go back to that. That is the end of the natural neuron illustration. Then we're going to open up the illustration called oneneuron.gif. So I'm opening that up. And you can see, if you look at it, Steve says, thank you for turning that thing off. Was a little bit annoying, wasn't it? So here we see a neuron with three weights, W1, W2, and W3. They go into a capital sigma net input function. So this is a summation of the input value from a previous neuron multiplied by the weight and then added all together. Then it travels kind of like up the axon to an activation function. And that activation function we're going to learn is a sigmoid, usually. So what we have here is a mathematical model of the cell that you just saw. So we have weights that will need to be optimized because they determine how much of each preceding neuron signal gets into the summation. The sigma, yes, Steve. And then the activation function is kind of like a trigger. An S, yes. David, it's an S shape. And this whole thing is the transfer function of the neuron. Okay, that's one neuron. Now let's take a look at another illustration. Oh, you know what? You know what I like to do? I like to tell you all the details and then the overview. Hey, so actually, what we're going to do here is we're going to look at these illustrations to get a feel for the implementation of a neural net. And then that'll be the end of the show because we only have so much time today. And at the end, I'll play this exclusive OR music again. So the next one is the activation function .gif. And if you open that up, it shows you a threshold function, a linear function, a Gaussian function, and a sigmoid function. These are all functions that are commonly used in neural net transfer functions as the activation function. Now, the sigmoid is the one you were just listening to. The sigmoid is 1 over the sum of 1 plus e to the minus x. So y equals 1 over 1 plus e to the something. And that something is minus x. It makes that S shape. And it's a really good shape for some different reasons. It's kind of slopey in the middle. And if the weights are large, that slope kind of, relatively speaking, gets sharper and gets to more like a switch. And if the weights are kind of smaller, it stretches the sigmoid out so that it's more of a linear ramp function, depending upon the needs of the particular neural net. So you kind of get your cake and eat it too. All right. So, I just got a message that my buddy Ixmal Supermarine in London is tuned in and listening. along with all y'all from around the world. Very international group, this. So, okay. That's the sigmoid transfer function that we have implemented. Now, let's take a look at the MLPXOR1.gif. And this is a bit of an unusual neuron. It's a solution to the XOR, I believe, if I did my web searching properly, where we have two inputs. The weights are illustrated with the numbers along the connections, and the bias, see, each neuron has a bias value. It's like MX plus B, Y equals MX plus B for a line. That B is inside the circle. And this will perform an exclusive OR function. So, this is what I have implemented in Chuck, and I will post the Chuck program sometime tonight, so check for it later tonight or tomorrow. It only runs on a Mac because I used a MAUI interface. I know, I shouldn't do that, but I wanted to have buttons to push so I could shut off my mic. Like, here's the XOR, here's me going away. And here's me coming back and shutting off the XOR. So, Neato Bandito, I can do that, yay. So here we have input neurons, two of them, that are blank, because it's long-standing tradition in neural nets for the input neurons to have no processing. They're just value holders. Then we have a hidden neuron, just one, in this special freaky little example, that with a bias value of 1.5. And then we have an output neuron that has a bias value of 0.5 and delivers the output. And it turns out pretty interesting when you think about it that the numbers are so, simple to perform an exclusive OR function. So that's a neuron exclusive OR. And finally, let's look at the network231.png file. So here we see the input of two neurons. Hidden layers, we have three neurons. And an output, we have one output. And this is more of a typical neural net. Oh, iSteve has asked the question, where does the minus 2 come from? Well, you came in a little late, iSteve. I explained that those are the weights along the, it's traditional to write the weights along the connection drawings on the arrows. So, the input is multiplied the weight and goes into the summation, Steve. Okay. So anyway, this last one, network 231, yeah, that's right, Steve, you're very welcome. And is more of a typical neuron. All right, now, let's let this be more of an interactive show. Our very brief show, we were into it 20 minutes, and let's answer some questions from the chat room. So, when you hear this in 45 seconds, or really more like 25 seconds, you can think of something really creative, really imaginative, and type it. We'll see what you say. So, I really like this new mic from Shure, this MV5. It's affordable. It's pricey, but still affordable. It's a low-end mic for sure. And it just plugs into the USB. That's it. It's got some buttons on the back, some modes and things. A little bit of feature there. And it's got a good frequency response. It's really picking up my voice, I'm told. Okay, Stefan has mental block. He's got Roblox. And Phobos is talking to Luigi. And iSteve is hanging in there with us, word for word. What do you have to say, iSteve? Let me just turn on the exclusive war and mess with it. So this is that exclusive war that you saw. Thank you, Ixmal. Thank you for the compliment. Phobos is a bit lost on the weights. Okay. I see the ones as inputs, says Steve. I see the hidden values. Okay. I see the weights. Looks like we need a little explanation of the weights. I kind of went through it real quick. Yeah, circuits. You know what? If this was a circuit, it would be like a non-inverting op amp, and the input resistors would be the weights. Kind of, sort of, analogously. Vaguely speaking. Not exactly. Oh, on the exclusive ore patch, Stefan, he asked, what was I changing? I have two sinusoids going into the two inputs of the exclusive ore, and I'm changing their frequencies. I have little sliders here. Slide going down. Going up. Going further up. Going back down. Okay, playing with sliders. So much fun. Alright, iSteve asks, what is going on to get the inputs from the hidden values? That's a great... Stefan. That's a great question, Steve. There is an algorithm called the backpropagation algorithm. It's basically a gradient descent optimization algorithm that takes the output error of... This is going to take another show to explain. We'll talk about training in the next show. But briefly, it takes the output error and propagates it back to adjust the weights. Now, Phobos asked, what are the weights? To review, an artificial neuron has inputs. Those input values come from the previous layer of neurons. Then each input is multiplied by a number. That's the weight. And then it gets added up and applied to the sigmoid transfer function, and that's the output of that neuron. Yeah, Steve, you're welcome to listen to the other show, and we'll talk about the training. We'll probably do a review of this stuff here, because I guess I explained it, but, you know, we don't have everybody on the same page as far as getting the material and looking at the illustrations. You know, we're doing a radio show. It's kind of blind and stuff. Phobos asks, is weight related to priority? Answer is definitely yes. Each input has its own weight, and if the input of the preceding neuron is, I don't know how to say it, more significant or has more of an impact on the summation, then its weight will be larger. Makes sense? So, Ice-Steve has left, and let's hear some other questions from the folks in the chat room. And Ice-Steve has returned. So I'm just changing the frequency of these inputs. When I put the frequencies very close together, they warble. When I put them far apart, they kind of do this. Oh, Ice-Steve is in and out unintentionally. That's cool, man. Whatever. Okay, no problem, Steve. Glad you're listening throughout. So, yeah, so I'm going to put this Chuck program on that thread. Once again, the thread is the Les Hall Show thread on the forum where you go to get old recordings, and the materials for each show will be posted there. For the learning shows, you know, not every show will be like a teaching thing. Some shows will just play music, some shows will mess around with programming, Chuck, Pure Data, things like that. And Stefan has asked a question. Are there activation functions in the exclusive OR patch? Yes, those activation functions are sigmoid, to my knowledge. At least that's what I have modeled. You can see it in the Chuck patch when you get to it. So let's kind of wrap things up. You know, here we are with a little brief half-hour introductory show. I've gone over the implementation of neural nets in very much of an overview way. I'm getting the impression that what we ought to do is next Tuesday have another show on the same topic, because this is kind of a warm up here. It's Friday night, we're chilling out, and people are not really in sync with what I was planning to do, because it's, you know, I mean, it's a new thing. The show's coming back and everything. So let's call that quits, and we'll do the same exact show on Tuesday. Be Tuesday. It's 5 o'clock my time. I think I'll make it like a little later or a little earlier, depending on what people want. You know, the Europeans would like it earlier, and the others would like it later. So, Alan says, okay, last show was explaining. This show is showing how to use those things to make cool noise. Yeah, and you can, if you got a Mac, you can download the code and make it work. If you don't, you can Skype with somebody and have them do it, and they can screen share and show you. But either way, you can look at the code and see the sigmoid and all that jazz. Alright, let's call it. Let's call it a show. And thank you everybody for listening. I had a good time. And despite the pollen in the air, it was fun. So thanks everybody. And, you know, as they say on the radio, see you on the other side.